And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. We really do rip off that podcast, don't we? Thinking about it.
Welcome.
We just need to get a girl, like a cool girl on here that never wants to talk about football.
And would also like cut you with one of several knives that she keeps on a keychain.
We're just like a mean old southern lady.
I don't think she's old, sir. I think she's like 32.
Well, old's a mind frame.
Well, you know, all the people from the holler are old in spirit.
When you're in Tennessee, you're like one. You're born in Tennessee, you're like one for 1 year, and then you're just like 58.
I believe Holly, formerly of Vox Media and MTV News, before they fired them over starting a union, so don't ever work for MTV, they're a bunch of scabs. I believe she's actually from West Virginia. West Virginia. Went to Tennessee,
it's but same
it's
thing.
From West Virginia.
West Virginia and Tennessee are the same thing.
Same
people, it's just like Tennessee
is three states combined. East Tennessee, absolutely. Central Tennessee, that's basically Klan country.
Yeah.
West Tennessee, not even the same place.
No, it's a weird mesh of Arkansas and Mississippi.
West Tennessee is God's country.
Yes.
That gave us, you know, any place that gave us B.B. King and Psycho Sid Vicious is a hell of a place.
Yes. So, Dan, some fun bowls. Recording this on the day. First Responders Bowl got canceled tonight. How ironic.
Sure. I mean, as you couldn't tell from that cough I just did, the reason why we missed last week and the reason why this one is coming out, you know, with a missed episode is not just because of Christmas. I'm also heavily diseased.
Yes.
And close to my death.
It's exciting. Public statement.
He's all right, boy. I'm just Arthur Morgan now.
The goodbye to the horse.
Boy. He just leans over and goes, boy. My horse was boy.
My horse name was Jim, but it was a girl.
My horse's name was Buell.
Jim the horse.
She's transsexual.
It's okay. I step over
anyway. I'm fine with it. I'm very tolerant of other people, but I don't like that word tolerant because it makes it sound like you're just putting up with them. And I think that's kind of retrograde. You know, that's sort of a '90s perspective on things is just put up with things you don't like instead of celebrating the differences we all have as human beings and as horses. SJW Arthur Morgan.
Yeah, like California dad Arthur Morgan.
I'd watch. Well, if he's a California dad, he'd be like, I'm really into this Beto O'Rourke fella. I just like the charisma he's got, and he don't want to raise my taxes.
The whole Beto thing these past 2 weeks is just going to go, you know what? Not going to pay attention to politics this time around. Not going to do it. I'm not reliving the 2016 primary, Dan. I refuse.
What you don't realize is that we all died 2.5 years ago, and this is our hell. It's just reliving 2016.
This was the plot of Lost.
Sorry, folks. No cough button.
But
yeah, today they played the what do you call it? The First Responders Bowl. They couldn't have it because global warming's not real. And as a result, no first responders were celebrated.
Yes.
So the cop bowl was not able to happen.
No. A shame. I was kind of actually excited to watch Boston College Boise. I thought that was like kind of an interesting matchup.
I feel like Boston College is kind of happy that game's not happening because
they were winning.
I feel like they were probably.
They technically won.
No, they technically did not win because technically it was a It was a no contest.
Not in the technical hearts and minds of the fans. Matt Ryan, former Boston College alum, said it was a victory. He's counting it.
Well, you know, those people.
Why wouldn't Matt Ryan want to end the game?
Yeah, why wouldn't he want to end the game early? Yeah, that's very unlike him.
Yes. That's actually a smart move by him. He should push for that. And have it retroactive.
Yeah.
He'd be multiple Super Bowl champion if that was the case.
So.
Just quick, Christmas. How about that? I don't know if you got a chance to watch any sports on Christmas, Dan, but Lakers. The Lakers are really good now and better than the Warriors, even without LeBron.
It's just proved once and for all that I was right, that you know, the most important player on that team was not Durant, is not Curry, it was Draymond. And now that Draymond has become a so-so player, they're, you know, look what they are. They're not unstoppable god men.
Now that Draymond has regressed to the mean, if you will. Well, the big thing with Draymond was, like, he could play defense so well.
He's hit that point where... Yeah.
Where, like, everyone else could just kind of slack off on defense.
You know? Well, he's hit that point where at his peak, he could lock down on defense and then also hit open threes.
Yeah.
And we've now hit that point where he's got to be one of the, like, he can't be a major offensive force and a major defensive force.
And he can barely do one
in the same game.
I mean, some of it's just regressing towards his mean. He's clearly.
Well, I don't think it's his mean. I think he played so many years that his mean is considerably higher. It's just he's becoming older, and this is just, you know, he's not going to be able to be that. Yeah, but he's 28. He's 28 with a lot of miles.
That's true.
A lot of playoff miles.
Basketball 28 is different than, like, baseball 28.
Yeah, and plus, like, being asked to be a huge part of their team night in, night out.
Well, and going in the finals, in the playoffs every year, going to the finals, like, 5 years in a row or whatever it is now?
Yeah.
That's like an extra season almost.
Yeah, and plus, asking him to defend the best player on the other team and then take the, you know, and then be an offensive force on the other end, that takes a lot.
This opens up the scenario I always wondered if it was coming, and it may not now because Draymond looks kind of washed, but maybe the Warriors should trade Draymond and just keep Durant.
That would seem crazy, though, wouldn't it? I mean, but it might not be the wrong move, because Draymond's energy...
For Draymond.
Yeah, and Draymond's energy is like, if he's not a dominant player, who the fuck wants to put up with him?
Yeah.
All the antics, all the Draymond Green, like, screaming and hollering and all that, you put up with that when he's like, one of the 10 best players in the league.
Yeah.
If he's like a seventh man, you don't want to hear the seventh man yelling at you if you're Kevin Durant. Yeah. You know what I mean? Draymond managed to get himself suspended for yelling at Durant when it was like he was still, like, he hasn't fallen as far yet.
Yeah.
The other issue is that Klay Thompson's playing like just pickled bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, Klay Thompson just outright sucks right now.
You know what the wild thing is, Dan? Still on pace to be a top five offense in the history of the NBA. Because don't forget, Steph Curry's probably the best offensive player maybe of all time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pretty wild how good he is. Sometimes we forget, I think.
But LeBron's team just smashing them.
Yeah.
I mean, that... And people could say, oh, they're coasting in the regular season. They're not coasting against LeBron.
No. On Christmas Day?
Mm-mm. No.
That's what everyone's going to talk about. The whole NBA's watching that, you know?
Absolutely. Like, that's not the game that you coast and throw in. The Warriors are beatable. It's just a matter of, can the Rockets get their shit together?
Which is no.
How dare you?
Maybe with Austin Rivers, they'll get a real tough point guard in there for once.
Oh, my God.
Someone that's likable.
Yeah, man. When I think of Austin Rivers, I just think likable.
They still got Melo. technically.
For now.
If it's Tom. Some stuff we missed him last week, though, real quick. Justin Fields, out at Georgia. Is everything falling apart under Kirby Smart?
That felt more like that kid made a real bad decision.
And then realized
and it? And then realized, yeah. And then realized it. Because it's like, well, what did, like...
It's not like Fromm was like some one star that just got the job. Like, he was the best quarterback in Georgia.
Like, Fromm took them to the playoffs. Like, you're not going to top that easily.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just going to unseat him.
Yeah. And it's not like he was just some guy who got lucky and like, oh, he'll lose his job, you know. Like, he was a highly touted recruit. He broke records in Georgia.
Also, I think some of it was, I think once he got there, he really didn't like the role they were putting him in. Because they were basically just treating him like a Wildcat quarterback.
Yeah, like that, like, well, that kid from Michigan.
Yeah.
You seen this? This guy?
I have not seen this. What are we talking
about?
He's
basically like a tight end wide receiver that was like a Wildcat quarterback in high school. So they'll bring him in just to play Wildcat right now. And he's like, he's got to be like 6'7". It's ridiculous.
Zach Gentry?
Is that the Minnesota? I don't know his name.
Oh, he plays for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay, I have not been watching this game too closely. I've been diseased. I've been on my deathbed. Yeah, you knew it was either going to go one of two ways, right? Like, as we're talking, the...
20-3.
Yeah, Georgia Tech is playing their last game with Paul Johnson as their quarterback, or as their coach, against Minnesota, coached by basically the exact opposite of Paul Johnson. And, you kind of knew. Either Georgia Tech is going to beat their opponent by a million points, and Paul's going to do that face he makes at the end of a blowout where he just sticks his tongue out and goes, ah! Or they're going to get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
And so far, they're getting their ass kicked.
Yeah. And then another news before we kind of get into some more bowls here. Dan, I'm officially into I'm officially into football, or footy, as we like to call it. I've purchased FIFA, and today I watched an Italian League soccer game.
For the record, footy is not soccer. That is what the Australian rules
for. I don't count. A, Australia doesn't exist. B, if they did, I wouldn't pay any attention to anything in Australia.
I feel like at least half of the episodes of this podcast say otherwise. I feel like you are very aware that Australia is at least a place. Well, even if you don't know how they talk, you do know they exist.
Hello, mate. They don't exist. It's like how I don't like the people of Hoth or something. It's a mythical land.
Oh my god. Next you're going to say that you've never watched Quigley Down Under.
I don't know what that is.
The classic, one of Tom Selleck's two good movies?
No.
Can you name the other good Tom Selleck movie? Because there's only two.
Magnum P.I. the movie.
That is incorrect. His two movies are basically the same movie, by the way.
Blue Bloods, the movie.
Quigley Down Under and Mr. Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And Quigley Down Under, he's an American he's an American Old West boy who goes to Australia, and he's kind of a fish out of water, doesn't really understand what Australia's like, but he kind of figures it out and learns to love the local native peoples. And then Mr. Baseball, he's an American baseball player, kind of a fish out of water playing in the Japanese league. But he learns to love the locals and the traditions and marries a Jap woman.
There you go. Australia is one of those fake places Dutch Vanderland tells you you're going in after you get one last score.
You I mean, literally, that is one of them. Okay. Tahiti, Australia.
Those are real. Okay.
I like how his choices were, we could go to Cuba, or Tahiti, or Australia. So we could go 2 hours away, or we could go, like, 3 days away, or we could spend 9 days on a plane, on a boat, and maybe get there, maybe not.
Oh, so that'd be more than 9 days, because you're probably going from, the East Coast, the Gulf?
Yeah, because his plane was to leave from New York City, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that's probably like half a year.
Also, the geography of the Red Dead games is confusing.
Yes.
Because, like, Montana is like a 5-minute ride from New Orleans.
But, like, L.A. is bigger than, like, three states.
Well, it is a car. Or Los Santos. That's the difference. Excuse me. That's the difference between a game where you ride a horse and a game where you ride a car.
Yes. We're heading to Cuba, Tahiti, Mars, Antarctica.
We're gonna go live with Cthulhu. What's dead can never die.
I don't know. Cucamonga.
Cucamonga. Where is Cucamonga?
Seattle.
Cucamonga is one of those things where, like, if you watch, like Nick at Night.
Right?
Well, like, if you watch, like, Nick at Night when you were a kid, yeah. like our age, like, Cucamonga was, like, always a place that they put in there as a joke. And, like, every sitcom, like I Love Lucy. Like,
Kimmy next door, Kimmy Gibbler, Full House. Like, she's going to, like, Cucamonga Tech for college.
Like, it's just for whatever reason, sitcom writers always talked about Cucamonga.
Because it's funny. I think The Simpsons had a bit about that. Like, just certain, like, Seattle's a funny word. Sorry.
Albuquerque. Yeah. Like, why did Bugs Bunny always take the wrong left in Albuquerque?
Because of racism, Dan.
Because Albuquerque's funny. Just say it. Albuquerque.
Because it's three syllables. That's the rule. It's like, anything with three syllables is funny. Like, Harambe. Seattle. It's the rule of comedy.
Syphilis.
Yeah.
Which clearly Dutch Vanderlyn has. Just syphilis dementia.
Dutch is a virgin.
I think Molly would say otherwise. You think Dutch is a never nut?
Yes.
It doesn't count if he never nuts.
Dutch is a proud boy. Dutch is too free thinking though. He's more like one of those like liberal gurus who ends up like raping all of his female members or something.
I was about to say like Sting.
Like Sting. Yeah.
Who always his deal is he has sex for 5 hours and never nuts.
Is there like a music artist who kept promising like a great album and it just never came? Like Gun he's the Axl Rose.
Well, Sting. I don't think he had too many.
Oh, no, Minnesota. Poor Paul Johnson.
Yeah, he just can't cut it in this world anymore. It's over. This world ain't made for folks like us no more. Civilization, they just don't want us. Paul Johnson just sitting on a tree stump whittling a knife. Drawing up a triple option play in the dirt.
Sighing.
Horrible. Well, what can you do? In 3 years, he'll be coaching Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Just because of this game.
Or.
Just to prove.
Maybe, Paul, come into my hometown. Come coach at Mercer. Probably going to fire Bobby Lamb soon. Get back in the Southern Conference. And it's school. So,
couldn't you just see him back at Georgia Southern now that they're FBS?
You think he would just go down to like FCS though? Say screw it.
Nah, I can just see him back at Southern.
I want him at Mercer. I'm officially campaigning to get him at Mercer.
I'm surprised you don't want him at Georgia State. So both of them run the same offense.
No, I want you at Mercer, and then I want you back playing Furman again. And the Citadel. Like, don't you feel at home just hearing those names, Paul Johnson? Instead of these wacky names like Wake Forest? What the fuck is that? Louisville? Come on.
Well, you know the fun fact about Wake Forest. Wake Forest is not located in Wake Forest, North Carolina.
It's in Virginia.
Wake Forest, North Carolina is located about 10 minutes outside of Raleigh, heading north of Raleigh. And that's where that's where Wake Forest University used to be. And then the Reynolds family, the owners of RJ Reynolds Tobacco, decided Winston-Salem needed a college other than the black college,
mm-hmm.
and just bought the college.
Smooth.
Well, they didn't buy it. They basically said, we will give you a ton of land. We will give you a bunch of buildings and basically give you like the prime land in Winston-Salem for yours to have a college there. And at the time, Wake Forest had the ugliest campus in the Southern College, like in that kind of Southern colleges.
Yeah.
Wake Forest was considered like the ugliest, dumpiest college. And so they were like, oh man, we can get like a bunch of cool shit paid for by the Reynolds family. Great. And now they have like all the prime land in Winston-Salem because the Reynolds family gave it to them like 80 years ago.
Like idiots.
And now the Reynolds family don't even have that much money anymore because R.J. Reynolds is not near. Well, maybe e-cigarettes will get them back going.
Whoever, they'll buy like Juul.
Well, I think Philip Morris own
my
Juul?
Boy, Philip Morris.
Well, they have a different name now, isn't it? Like Alesta, or like they changed their name to something that so you wouldn't know they're Philip Morris.
Not cancer.
We don't cause cancer. The company.
this company doesn't give you cancer.
Didn't Philip Morris used to own like a lot of weird mess? Like, oh, they make cigarettes and macaroni and cheese.
Yeah,
and mouthwash
and Oreos, which are more addictive than cigarettes.
And Ferrero Rochers
and cancer is caused by genetics, nothing else. Cookies.
Which the cookies that remind
Philip Morris
you.
Make? Is that Marlboro?
Philip Morris, yes, I believe they made Marlboro.
So R.J. Reynolds is Camel. That's
yeah, I mean, when I did smoke, I never smoked anything that wasn't an R.J. Reynolds product.
I smoked Camel Light Blues.
Excuse you me. Got Camels, you got Winston cigarettes, which is what I smoked, because it has the name.
Because you right saw there. The NASCAR crop.
And then I'm pretty sure they were also Pall Malls or Pall Malls, however you pronounce that.
Pall Malls, Pall Walls.
I mean, you pronounce that word pell mell when you read Shakespeare, but it's spelled Pall Mall.
And I guess some breaking news: Georgia Tech is back, down 10, gushing up the middle. No, I'm sorry, they're not in white, but still.
How dare they not wear white?
Paul Johnson, always a drama queen.
Georgia Tech, even when they're up by like 30, they always let you back in the early fourth quarter so that it'll be close.
I just reckon.
Well, I figured the folks would want a good game. Paul Johnson is Arthur Morgan. She's all right, boy.
Is that what he's going to do to, like, his last option quarterback? It's just, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, boys. That
Who's
makes
this
sound
John
racist.
Mark? Who's this Jim Milton, like, the Navy coach?
That it has to
better
be.
Life.
You go spend your time with your children. You get out of this option coaching. There's no future in it anymore for folks like us. You could join the Navy. Get you a pension. Raise your son. In this case, Jack Marston would be Irvin Jasper, the offensive coordinator for Navy.
Can you imagine? What if Paul Johnson just becomes anti-option late in his life? He just goes on a big tour to like get the option banned. It ruined my life.
Well, that's what would have happened if Arthur would have lived. He would have campaigned against guns.
Yeah.
Because once again, SJW, Arthur Morgan. Gun control is the only way.
There's no need for a quick loading pistol.
Express ammunition is unsafe. High velocity has no bearing in our modern society. No more sawed-off shotguns. What was your loadout for Arthur Morgan in Red Dead 2, by the way?
What do you mean?
What was your go-to firearms?
Oh, just dual pistol or the rifle? The Red Ryder BB gun rifle, I believe.
So the way I started role playing my Arthur is that he's kind of shit with his pistols.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not a pistol man. He can't figure out how to use them. So I always carried a sawed off shotgun and then a rifle. It's like my Arthur is a rifleman. He'll kill you from long distances. If you get close, he's fucked.
I like getting in close though, because you get that cool animation where you just shoot the guy in the head.
Big fan of that. Well, see, and then you do that with the sawed off shotgun and his head blows off.
Yeah. By the end, I was like, oh, I have dynamite. I just started throwing that at like large groups of guys. And I was like, why haven't I been doing this for half the game?
Because when I played Red Dead 1 as John Marston, I was almost always a pistol man. Like, I almost never used anything but his revolvers. And so I figured, well, when I'm John, I'll use my revolvers. But when I'm Arthur, it'd be all rifles.
Oh.
And then sawed off shotguns.
Uncle? Who's the uncle of the cog? Is that like just, is that Lee Corso?
Well, if you believe the fan canon, Uncle is Red Harlow from Red Dead Revolver. So it would have to be somebody who used to be like the baddest legend of all, who has now become a comical, silly person.
Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz is the uncle of college football.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Barry Switzer's Twitter profile will have you think he's uncle, because he's pretty silly on Twitter. Basically, Barry Switzer's like 85 or something. Looks like $1 million. Guy doesn't look a day over 58. But he's like 80-something, and every one of his Twitter pictures is him with like some milfy-looking 50-year-old woman. Just like, yep, I'm still Barry Switzer.
Stuck.
Did you ever hear the Barry Switzer story from the Super Bowl when they made the Cowboys?
No.
When he was the head coach of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So he basically figured, I'm never going to get to coach the Super Bowl ever again, because it's kind of a miracle I'm getting to do this now.
Yeah.
So he brought his whole family. He brought his mistress, his wife, his ex-wife, all of his kids. And then there's a story that him and a friend of his were swapping wives at a party Super Bowl week. But Barry couldn't get his situation to function. So he kept yelling at his flaccid penis going, well, you look like an Oklahoma Sooner, but you work like an Oklahoma State Cowboy. Because he had to shit on Oklahoma State even in the middle of the
orgy.
Like, that's all, that's the only way he could get it up. Was to just yell about how shitty Oklahoma State is. He coached the Cowboys for like 4 years wearing like an Oklahoma Sooners windbreaker. Like, the whole time just being like, I'm still the Oklahoma Sooners.
He thought he was coaching the Oklahoma Sooners.
He's like, everybody felt the entire time he was with the Cowboys that any week Barry was just going to go, you know what, let's run the wishbone. Let's see if it'll work.
Troy.
Troy, I'm going to replace you with Jamel Holloway again. Oh. Barry Switzer is the exact same voice as Arthur Morgan to me. He's all right.
Easy, girl. Okay, let's jump into some bowl talk.
Yeah, we've diddled around enough.
Yeah, we're gonna blaze through these. Independence Bowl. Temple. Duke. Temple favored by 3.
So that felt crazy to me, because Temple's lost their coach, and I know the deal with it is that Temple's coach has left to go to Georgia Tech, and he has told his whole coaching staff to stay at Temple for the bowl game, so he's preparing Georgia Tech for next year, doing the recruiting alone, while his old staff stays at Temple. So I do get that, where it's like, hey, Temple has more of a coaching staff than normal for a departing head coach, but like, Duke has more continuity than, like, any team. Like, that's all Duke is continuity.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know what Duke's going to be. They're going to be a David Cutcliffe team. And don't you trust that more than Temple, like, making do with a makeshift coaching staff?
Yeah.
I do.
I agree with that. So I would go Duke. Next up, Pinstripe Bowl. We got to blaze through these non-important.
This bowl doesn't even count. I don't. Anything that happens at Yankee Stadium ain't college football.
No, and you know what? Fuck, we're not even going to pay attention to the Pinstripe Bowl.
Who's in it?
Miami and Wisconsin. The Disappointment Bowl.
No. We had high hopes for our season bowl. Yeah.
Our year went to shit. So screw them. How about this one? The Texas Bowl.
They well, wait a minute. I do want to say something about Miami. Did you hear what Bruce Feldman had to say about Miami?
No.
Bruce Feldman, college football reporter, also a Miami alum, had this to say. Mark Richt is probably not going to get this back. This is probably – he's probably in a fatal tailspin, which seemed like a big thing to be saying, like, 1 year after they just had a great year, right?
Like, Miami's just done.
But their best coach left to go be the Temple head coach, Manny Diaz, which that ain't even like a prime job. That felt like just getting out of Dodge for him. And then he doesn't look like he's going to shake his offensive coaching staff up, so it's just going to stay his idiot son.
You couldn't and even then get him. Idiot nephew to come play for him.
You know, it just seems, it seems bad, right? Like, maybe Georgia fans were right, as much as that pains me to say.
No, they weren't right, though. He's just washed.
But they seemed to know he was washed before the rest of us did. Like, for once, yeah. Georgia people made the right call, which was, yeah, this guy's washed up. Let's get him out of here before he completely takes us down into the ditch.
I think Mark Richt could be leading Alabama 118 minutes out of 2 minutes and still lose twice.
I see. I feel like if he was still at Georgia, they'd be going like 7-5, 8-4. They'd be in like late era Mac Brown territory.
I don't know. It's pretty bad. East.
You don't think he would get his ass kicked by Dan Mullen? Because I do.
Oh, now the Kirby's going to get his ass kicked by Dan Mullen.
I wouldn't go there. Dan
Mullen's a good coach.
Yeah, but he can't recruit.
And he's about to be out-coached Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I don't get the feeling Michigan's coaching staff thinks a lot about bowls that aren't like the Rose Bowl.
I just feel like Florida's going to win this and it's going to really piss off Michigan.
They absolutely will. This is going to be like an entire offseason of just, we won like 10 games and we're miserable. Which, they're right back in. If you're old enough to remember the Lloyd Carr era at Michigan, this is what every Michigan season was. A close game against Notre Dame that could have gone either way. 10 wins, a loss to Ohio State, and then a loss in the bowl game. And then everybody just feeling miserable about themselves.
Yeah. We'll get to that one later.
And then just like horrifying ass kickings of like the Indianas of the world that makes them get their hopes up. Because they're like, see, we beat the shit out of somebody. But it's always like Indiana.
Yeah.
Like, they always play their best game against Northwestern for some reason.
Next up, Baylor Vanderbilt, Texas Bowl. Baylor plus four. Baylor's back.
That seems weird to me. Like, don't you trust Vanderbilt more?
No.
Like, being an SEC team with a great defense, like, don't you trust them more than you do, like, you know, Aldi Texas school? I mean, I kind of do.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Baylor plus four.
Okay, I misheard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still going to take Vanderbilt.
Yeah, why not?
I believe in Vanderbilt.
Next up, the Music City Bowl. Purdue and Auburn. Auburn favored 3.5.
Well, I wouldn't want to beat Gus Malzahn if they lose this game. Because basically he'll spend the entire offseason have with boosters saying, let's go hire Jeff Braum.
Yeah, so that kind of owns. So I think Auburn loses this game like 3-0.
Man, Jeff Braum just going to walk in and be like,
no, because you know what? Auburn will go to the playoffs next year. And then Gus will like get another 10 years added.
Absolutely, but the offseason will be like all of the Auburn boosters, like some guy named like, Humpy McMasterson III.
Yeah, like tried the Yellowwood guy.
You know, some guy named Humpy is going to be out there trying to convince Jeff Braum to go ahead and take the Auburn job before it's even available. That's absolutely what's going to happen, and you know it.
Give me Purdue here. Give me the under.
Nah, give me Purdue and give me the over. They're going to score 60 points.
60 to negative 2. My final prediction. Next up, the Camping World Bowl. West Virginia, Syracuse.
Can I talk about how much I love camping? But, like, bullshit bourgeoisie camping. Like, I don't want to actually get, like, stuff on me. I want to be in an RV. I love RVs.
I don't love this
game. There's nothing to me better than an RV.
How excited are you for the renewal of the Big East rivalry of Syracuse and West Virginia?
Isn't that a trophy game?
I mean, it used to be.
Yeah. Syracuse, I feel like Syracuse is going to get – I feel like Syracuse is going to get the living shit beat out of them.
Well, they're favored.
Yeah, West Virginia's got a bunch of players not playing, right? Like, Greer's not playing.
Greer's not playing all these guys. So give me Syracuse.
I'm just going to bet against the ACC this bowl season, if you don't mind. I don't know about ACC teams matched up against equivalent teams from other conferences, how well that's going to go this year.
Speaking of bad teams, the Alamo Bowl, Iowa State, who barely beat Drake a few weeks ago.
They could not beat the cornball rapper that everybody makes fun of now.
Versus Washington State.
Who everybody thought was cool like 2 years ago.
Versus the Cougars of Washington State. Give me Mike Leach here.
Mike Leach in bowls is a screwy thing. Sometimes.
But he's back in Texas.
That is true. That is worth a couple, you know, touchdowns there at least.
Yeah.
But sometimes Mike Leach teams will show up in a bowl game and then just not even try. It's like their quarterback goes like 18 of 50 for like 120 yards, and it's just a total disaster. And it's just clear everybody was drunk listening to Jimmy Buffett the night before. It happens.
They're still better than Iowa. Iowa State barely beat Drake.
Iowa State's pretty well coached, pretty good team.
They barely beat a school that doesn't have scholarship athletes.
And see, Iowa State plays that kind of offense a lot. I don't know. Give me Iowa State.
Washington State. Let's agree here.
Give me Iowa State.
Next up, the Peach Bowl. Florida, Michigan. Michigan favored by 6.5.
Give me Florida.
I think Florida's going to win there. It just feels like a bad year for Michigan.
I just have no faith. And Michigan's going to have a bunch of players not in this game either.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be missing quite a few, like, key defensive players who are just going on to the draft. Give me Florida.
Yeah. Next up.
It just makes sense that Michigan just has this miserable offseason, even though they had a good team.
Next up, the Belk Bowl. South Carolina.
The best bowl.
South Carolina and Virginia.
God, this is going to be unwatchable, huh?
Mm-hmm. Or it'd be a really good game. Go either. There's only two ways.
I just want to see what Will Muschamp does when he has to play like a cheating ass Bronco Mendenhall team.
South Carolina's favored by 5.5, but you know, give me Virginia based on just Muschamp getting kicked out of the game.
Because like if you're not familiar with Bronco Mendenhall at BYU, Bronco Mendenhall, like, he looks like a very straight laced Mormon gentleman. But like all Mormon gentlemen, he's secretly a fucking nut-cutting bastard because all of his teams just do nothing but cheap shot you constantly.
Yeah.
It's just like a never-ending barrage of just like nut shots. I mean, he's basically like 45-year-old Ric Flair in WCW,
yeah,
where his offense is like 75% just low blows.
Give me Virginia.
And Will Muschamp is going to see one of his guys get cut from the side. And just have an explosion, and his whole head will just pop off. Like that gif from Scanners.
Next
so give
up,
me Virginia.
Next up, the Arizona Bowl. Arkansas State, Nevada.
The not Fiesta Bowl.
This is the bowl. I wouldn't even pay attention to it, because you're gonna care more about the game at 4.
Give me Nevada.
Get ready for the game at 4. Notre Dame, Clemson. Clemson favored by 12.5. Dan, you know what? I've reversed my position from all year. Notre Dame's going to win this game.
Notre Dame's going to get their ass beat.
Nope, they're going to upset Clemson. Clemson's going to not be using their steroids.
Clemson is going to get the shit. Is just going to beat Notre Dame like they stole something from them.
Going with Notre Dame, I think. I got a feeling. And then Oklahoma, Alabama. Alabama favored by 14. Two scores.
Give me Oklahoma. I felt over long Bama? And hard about this. I felt long and hard in this. I think the spread is way too high because Oklahoma's going to score points no matter what. Alabama, like, this is going to be a shootout.
Yeah, I can see this is Oklahoma's like being down 14 with 3 minutes left, scoring a touchdown, and then it just not matter. You know what I mean? Like, there's just not enough time.
This just feels like a 56-49 game to me.
Yeah, with like a late touchdown that kind of means nothing because they have to kick an onside kick.
I think Oklahoma's got the best shot at any of the teams in the playoffs of beating Alabama.
Yeah,
because they're just so different than who Alabama plays week in, week out. There's no team in the SEC that does what Oklahoma does. They have no preparation for it. It's all going to be film stuff, and you know, we don't know how healthy Tua is going to be. And if Tua's not totally healthy, they can't win a showdown without Tua. They've got to have Tua. And if he's 70%, they lose this game.
Wait, back up. But Hurts beat Clemson.
Hurts lost to Clemson.
He beat him once, though.
No, Clemson won 2 years ago.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
But he won
first. That was Deshaun Watson's last year. 2 years ago, Watson
was the quarterback the first time.
I don't think Hurts was even there.
I thought it was Hurts.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Hurts.
I think it was. Hurts is what, a senior?
I thought he was. No, he's a junior.
Oh, junior. Okay, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Okay. I thought they said he was a national champion, though.
Well, he does have a national championship.
Oh, from last. I thought he had one as a starter. Well, I guess he technically was a starter.
I mean, he made it. He made the championship
game. Yeah.
But, you know, he's not beating Oklahoma because Clemson ain't Oklahoma. Like, Oklahoma is just a step above offensively. And if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to match it. And I don't think he can do it.
Now watch as Alabama holds Oklahoma to like 7 points.
Sure. I mean, that's always the way it is, but
right.
I just feel like, I think Tua will be healthy, but if he ain't, Oklahoma going to win this ballgame.
There you go. Big predict. We'll see next week if that's right. New Year's Eve day. Military Bowl. Cincinnati versus Va-Tech.
One of the most surprisingly good teams of the year versus one of the most surprisingly shitty teams of the year.
Yeah. Give me Cincinnati. They're not from the ACC.
Yeah, and I just, Virginia Tech's got something weird going on there. Yeah. They need to get something figured out.
The Sun Bowl. Stanford Pitt.
One of the original bowl games.
What a matchup.
Man, this is going to be over in like an hour and a half. Yeah. This is going to be the fastest football game.
Stanford's favored by 5.5. Unders at
it's just going to be nothing but pulling guards and arc tight end blocks.
Yeah. Unders at 52. Give me that.
Yeah, I'm taking that under. This game, the final score of this game is going to be like 9-2.
Next up, the Red Box Bowl. Michigan State, Oregon. Oregon favored by 3. The quarterback's coming back. Oregon's going to be hyped. They're going to win this game.
Oregon also, did you see on early signing day, Oregon ended up the number 5 recruiting class in America.
Oregon's? Oregon beats Auburn next year. Might not mean anything.
Mario Cristobal, like, we're going to go down and go, I mean, he did about as well as he could have done at Florida International because he was basically starting from scratch there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he spent years as Nick Saban's offensive line coach. Willie Taggart brings him in to be offensive line coach at Oregon. Then when Taggart leaves for Florida State, people thought it was weird that Oregon kept Cristobal. Doesn't look so weird now. That guy has delivered like what if the thing with Oregon is that we always looked at it as like their uniforms was as good, like Chip Kelly was maxing out with that offense and the uniforms,
yeah,
what Oregon could be recruiting wise. What if they could actually be, with the Nike thing, a top five recruiting power, and they just now have Cristobal?
Well, especially, I'm looking at, yeah, well, especially I'm looking at when USC sucks.
Yeah, I'm looking at Chip Kelly at UCLA, and their recruiting is garbage.
Yeah, has Chip Kelly been good anywhere else but Oregon? Is Chip Kelly a good coach?
Well, he was a really good offensive coordinator at New Hampshire. And I would say he was a very good coach at Philadelphia. He was just a ungodly terrible general manager.
Were they ever in the playoffs?
Yeah, he made the playoffs 2 years. He made the playoffs both of his first two years.
Did he? Okay.
And then they gave him the GM job, and the team completely fell apart. Chip Kelly just doesn't have any eye for talent, evidently.
Yeah.
And Oregon was just recruiting themselves with him as head coach.
Yeah.
And now that they have, like, an actual dynamic recruiter, they're just kicking ass.
Yeah, look out. Let's move on. I like Oregon here, though. Liberty Bowl. Missouri-Oklahoma State. Mizzou favored by 8.
What's over-under on this game?
74. Missouri's ranked.
Yeah, that's weird though that they're ranked.
Wild. They weren't even ranked when they were in the SEC title game.
Give me the over.
Yeah, give me Mizzou to win. Mizzou's back.
Hardcore Mizzou action
to win the Liberty Bowl.
My old rival.
This is rivalry renewed.
My favorite bowl game. The Liberty Bowl in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee.
Next up, Northwestern, Utah. The Holiday Bowl.
This is going to be unwatchable.
Utah like, by 7.
Just call that the unwatchable bowl.
This game's on at 7. It's 7:30. You can stay and watch. Cause let's just skip to this. NC State, Texas A&M, and the Gator Bowl. A&M beaten by a touchdown.
We're going to kick Jimbo's ass.
I think NC State's going to be the only ACC team that wins.
We know all of their tricks. We know all of Jimbo's bullshit. We ain't afraid of him. And we're going to beat his ass.
This will be the main event on New Year's Eve Day.
I don't know what New Year's Eve Day means. New Year's that Eve feels night. Like that feels like you're just making something
New
up.
New Year's Eve Day. That's a lot of people call it. How about on New Year's Day?
Everybody's going to wake up. All, you know, dejected about the bad decisions they made.
They're going to make an even worse one because they're going to watch Mississippi State and Iowa. Mississippi State favored by 7. Outback Bowl.
Imagine the permutations. Like, because those two fan bases are going to be in town, right? New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Imagine the permutations of, like, some, like, redneck-ass camo-wearing Mississippi State guy goes home with some, like, corn-fed MILFy lady. And then they wake up the next morning going, good God, what have we done?
And they just created the next Republican president.
This is how Jeff Sessions was born.
They create the next Jeff Sessions.
Steve King and Peter... Steve King and Jeff Sessions have a child, an unholy spawn.
Hell, yes. But, you wait, just maybe sleep in, you wait till an hour later... This game, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. Kentucky, Penn State, in the Citrus Bowl. Penn State's if everybody a touchdown. Fuck that. Give me Kentucky.
Yeah, touchdown's too much.
Yeah. Penn State's not that good either.
Penn State's all right, but, you know, Kentucky beat some good teams. And Kentucky is very good at running the football. They are legitimately good.
But Dan also at 1. You could turn on over to the Fiesta Bowl. LSU and UCF. LSU favored by 7.5. Which is really funny. Hopefully LSU just blows them out and shuts UCF up.
They're not going to. UCF is going to beat their ass.
UCF is going to win this game. And then they're going to beat Duck in Florida.
Are they ducking Florida, or are they trying to get a better deal than they probably should be, than they probably would get?
No, she's accepting.
Like, they're basically just trying to shame Florida into giving them a
yeah, but Florida, one. Florida doesn't care. Florida just go, okay, we'll just play USF. That's what I would do. I would go, okay, USF, you get a home and home. And watch, like, UCF cry. Like, that would be an ultimate troll move up Florida.
The ultimate troll move would be for Florida to play South Florida in the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah.
as a preseason exhibition.
Yeah, world kickoff.
You know, you play in Central Florida Stadium, but you play somebody else.
That's what they should do. Or like FIU.
I'm a big believer.
But then, Dan, 5 o'clock after watching LSU, I think they're going to lose this game in, like, a really dumb way, too. I don't know. I got a feeling. But next up, Washington, Ohio State, and the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, Ohio State's going to beat the piss out of them, ain't they?
Yeah, Ohio State's favored by 7. And they're back.
This is just going to be an ass-whipping. Mm-hmm.
And then our main event, Texas and Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Georgia's favored by 13. I think Texas, this is a weird one. Do you think Georgia feels like maybe they got robbed? Like they're going to come out and just blow out Texas to prove, like, we're better.
But see, the other option here is that, like, this is what, like this, like you never bet against Tom Herman when they're clearly the inferior team.
Mm-hmm.
So the other possibility here is they're just going to beat the piss out of Georgia, and nobody's going to see it coming.
Like West Virginia, Georgia.
I just don't bet against Tom Herman when nobody sees it coming.
There you go. Then the next week there'll be a championship game. You've got, what's your prediction though? Who are we gonna see playing each other?
It's gonna be Clemson versus Oklahoma.
I got Notre Dame, Alabama. So we're complete opposite. Notre Dame, Alabama.
God, I don't want to see that.
But the powers that be do, Dan. So just look out.
Do they? Because I feel like Alabama beating them to death.
No, Dan, I believe people like you told me that when Notre Dame's good, a lot more people watch. But ratings were down this year. Is Notre Dame a good draw? I don't think so.
Well, I think one of the things
go back to the when the ratings were high in the aughts and push the Gators.
People are sick to death of Alabama. Like, the reason why the SEC drew big ratings in the 2000s is because it was a different team every year.
Yeah.
Like, one year it'd be Alabama, one year it'd be Auburn, one year it'd be Florida. Now that LSU. It's just Alabama, or LSU, now that it's just Alabama just pissing in everybody's mouth every year, ain't no fun.
Yeah.
Alabama and Clemson are killing the business. Man, Paul Johnson don't look happy. He looks real unhappy.
R.I.P.
I mean, he always looks unhappy, but he looks extra unhappy.
Yeah. Well, this is it. This is it for Paul Johnson. Until he comes to Mercer. Back home in the SoCon, baby.
P.J. Fleck is sweating very profusely.
Doesn't he always, though? Isn't he like a sweaty fella?
He's one of those guys who, like, he's like a car salesman with like a strategy where it's like, all like he's like the guy from Glenn Ross, where he's like, always be closing, ABC. And you're like, well, that doesn't even make sense. No, you just don't get it. Always be closing. You always got to be making that sale. Like, he has led the leaderboard at the Strickland Propane for 10 straight years, and this is not going to be, you are not going to deny him the 11th.
It's a big win for Minnesota.
Yeah, this is definitely like a proof of concept year for them, where it's like they needed to have a year where they went out and showed that, hey, recruits, this is a, you know.
You can come to Detroit for free just late December.
Like, we are building something in the Big Ten West. We beat Wisconsin. We won our bowl game. You know, why not choose us instead of Iowa or...
Yeah, okay, Iowa. Okay, you could be in what? Where's the Outback? Orlando? Where's the Outback Bowl?
Well,
Tampa. You know, but, okay, you could be in Tampa, Florida.
If you're a young Generation Z, do you really want to play for Kirk Ferentz, who probably doesn't even know what a data plan is? Or
PJ Fleck, PJ on Fleek, more like it.
Exactly.
This guy's sending you memes.
PJ Fleck loves memes.
Yeah.
Actually, what have they moved beyond? Because now it's not even like a memes anymore. Like, what do they do now?
I don't know.
It's like so abstract that there's no way to even, like, it's so esoteric that it's basically like just like a series of words misspelled. It's like, oh, look at the small husk or like whatever. And you're like, I don't know what you're saying.
No. But, I think that's it for me.
Yeah. We'll that's it for week. Me.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week and I can get back to my deathbed.
Yeah. We'll be back for the big championship game of probably just watching Alabama make someone's life miserable. That's what happens.
Yep. We're now here at the end of the year and it's like, I hope you enjoyed the ride here because like Red Dead Redemption, we knew we were marching to death the whole time.
But the destination isn't as fun.
It's more about the ride.
Yeah. There's no building fences at the end here, people.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
No. R.I.P. I'm going to go play Assassin's Creed now. Which is like a nice refresher for Red Dead. Because when you loot somebody, there's not even like an animation. It's just like your stuff. And I'm like, thank you. This saves me like hours of gameplay.
And they don't like judge you for looting someone?
Yeah, it's just like a much more, like it's clearly like not as good of a game, but like that's kind of nice sometimes. It's nice to watch like a good Oscar, like a heavy movie, and then just watch like Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, I haven't been watching as many movies lately, but the last movie I had seen was The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, mm-hmm. which is basically just like nonstop death and the universe is random and uncaring. You can just die at any time, even if you're an honest person. And I had not watched a movie until Christmas, and then I watched Home Alone and Home Alone 2. And it's like, you know what? I needed that.
Home Alone rules.
Now, here's my feeling about Home Alone. Home Alone 1 is a genuinely perfect movie. Home Alone 2 is better if you're a kid and way shittier if you're an adult.
Yeah.
Because,
it's got
like,
the president in it. And there you go, Paul Johnson. It's all over.
Yeah, everything about Home Alone 2, you just go, well, this is stupid. But if you're a kid, you're just like, oh, man, he's in New York. He's tricking Tim Curry. This is great.
Walking.
I love it when Tim Curry gets tricked.
I know who Tim Curry is.
Yeah, because I'm a 5-year-old who was allowed to watch Rocky Horror somehow.
I'm an 11-year-old cross-dressing kid.
How do you do I? Uh-huh. But then, like, the first Home Alone is just genuinely a perfect movie.
It's a good film.
It's just like I don't know.
It's not as good as Jingle All the Way.
Much better. It's a much better movie.
It's a movie with Phil Hartman and Sinbad, two late great comedians from the 90s.
Sinbad is not dead, sir.
Sinbad is dead.
He is to me. He knows what he did.
He died in 97.
I think Sinbad was just hosting one of those syndicated shows that come on like Fox affiliates after the news that only black people watch.
Yeah. Or like one of those shows they show like at 3 a.m. on a Sunday.
That are always produced by Byron Allen somehow. Byron Allen is now like the richest stand-up comedian of the 80s.
There you go.
because he's like produced a million shows that I guess they all made money, but they were, none of them were on at like normal times. It's like, there's a show with like, Bill Bellamy, I think his name is, that airs at like 12:30 in southern markets with like heavy black populations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like him and a bunch of like, oh, I remember that guy. Oh, that guy was on an episode of In Living Color in 1993. Oh, that guy had like a season long arc on, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's just that. And then like John Lovitz is like the white guy. And Byron Allen has apparently made so much money that he bought the Weather Channel.
Damn.
Byron Allen is like an American treasure. And on that note, as we salute Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Byron Allen, we have only this to say, which is, fuck the Queen. We're adding that back because...
in her piano.
Somehow you people just cannot stop groveling at the feet of this hideous old Nazi. And play the music, Jason.